Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out into our home. The schedule didn't work out this time for recording on Saturday morning, so I figured that Friday afternoon would be about as good as it can get. As you notice that we got Millie and we have Charlie with us today, and there's some traffic running up and down the road, but those things are just normal for the Sullivan household. So let me just say thank you for joining with us today. Today we're going to go back to John chapter 15. And over the last couple of chapters, Jesus has taken us on an incredible trip. And he's given us some wonderful, wonderful promises. Of course, we know in John chapter 14, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." He's talking about heaven. He said he's going to go away and he's going to come and get us and take us to be him with himself. That speaks of his second coming. And these things are just incredible that Jesus is saying. Also from John chapter 14, we can see where Jesus says that we can know the way to God. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father but by me." So he is the way to the Father. And you and I know that for certain, so we can come to the Father, we can enjoy the promise of heaven in our future. Jesus also said, "If you believe in me, then you'll do great things." And we explained that, well, the spread of the gospel around the world so rapidly, and it came to you and I, that's quite amazing for something to happen 2,000 years ago in a bit of an obscure community, and now that same message has made it to us, though people have tried to destroy it for years. Folks, that's a miracle. That really is a miracle. And then Jesus says, "Because I live, you will live also." My goodness, we know that he lives, but what a promise. We will live also. We don't have to go any further, and that's all we need. There's a couple more. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you desire and it shall be done." The key is, are we abiding? Are we staying connected? Are we seeking Jesus and seeking his desire and his will for us? If we know his will for us through abiding, then we can ask what we will, and it shall be done. But that's just not a flippant prayer request. That's staying connected and pursuing Jesus and knowing his will. Then his will becomes our will, and we can ask what we will, and it'll be done. All these promises have encouraged me, and hopefully it has encouraged you as well. But now, Jesus changes his tone. Last couple of chapters were wonderful promises. Then Jesus changes his approach. I can imagine him looking at his disciples and his face gets rather serious. He's got something he wants to say. John chapter 15, verse number 18, he says this, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." If the world hates you, is the world going to hate us? Should the world hate us? Now, I know every one of us, and me included, we want to be liked by everyone. But Jesus gives us a little bit of insight on being liked by everyone. Luke chapter 6, verse number 26, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so they did their fathers to the prophets." So, my goodness, we need to be cautious if everyone speaks well of us. I know that's countercultural, but according to Jesus, that's the way it is. This is not something that you're going to hear every day in our culture, in our day and time. But I'm going to let Jesus explain this just a little bit further. So look at John chapter 15, verse number 19. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So Jesus has called us out of this world. What does that mean? It means that we're supposed to no longer be a part of the world. Yes, we have to live here. We got to interact here. But spiritually speaking, we need to be cautious with that. Jesus has pulled us away from the world. You see, we're supposed to act differently. There needs to be a distinct difference between the way the world acts and the way we act. We are to speak differently. Is that the case? We are to be different. Not weird, but be different. So are you. Well, Jesus continues in verses 20 and 21. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master? If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would keep your words also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If you want to find out what they did to the disciples, then read the first couple of verses in John chapter 16, and you'll see what they did. They hated them. So, the world hates Jesus. And it's a fair bet that most of them hate him right now. Let me give you an example. You mention God in our culture, and there's a good chance you'll get by with it. But if you mention Jesus, then's when you're going to get a reaction. Jesus gave us a little instruction in these verses that makes this so much more clear. Let's go back to verse number 21. But all these things that they will do to you, watch this, for my name's sake, because they don't know him who sent me. For my name's sake. Say that with me. For my name's sake. Well, let me explain. Some Christians are just naturally repulsive, and they're easy for people to hate. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Look, if we act like Jesus, we look like Jesus, we live like Jesus, then people that hate Jesus will hate us. And then they will hate us for Jesus' sake if they hate us for being like Jesus. Well, that's okay. Not because we're repulsive or abrasive. They hate us because we are like Jesus. Well, Jesus explains a little bit more in Matthew chapter 5. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 5 in verse number 11 and 12. And I'm going to read this one from the New Living Translation. I don't want anything to be lost in translation. Verse 11, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say so all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. They're mocking you because you are my followers. He says, verse 12, be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So there are great rewards for those who are mocked, made fun of, and persecuted for living for Jesus. Well, for the rest, the majority of John chapter 15, he explains his thoughts and what he was intending. But in verse number 26, he changes directions again. And this seems almost disjointed or without reason. But follow with me, you'll see that it was not. Verse 26, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of the truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." Notice the word helper. We know the Holy Spirit to be called Holy Spirit, helper, advocate, all these different things. But here is helper. Why helper? Well, I personally believe that when people start making fun of you and start persecuting you, it's going to get hard. It's going to make life difficult. By ourselves, let's just face it, a lot of personal persecution will cause us either to break or to revert back to attack mode to protect ourselves. But with the Helper, the Spirit of God, we can proceed and respond appropriately. So just how are we supposed to respond? Well, Jesus had a lot to say about that. And we're going to find what he said back in Luke. Look at Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." Oh my, is that a hard one? "Bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you." That just about covers it all. "And then to him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away from your goods, do not ask them back." Boy, that changes everything. Verse 31, "And just as I want men, just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise," the golden rule. "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, well, what credit is that to you?" That just happens. "For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back." But he clarifies, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great." Listen to what he says. "And you will be sons of the Most High." That's exactly how Jesus would have responded and did respond. We need to respond like sons of the Most High. Luke continues, "For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." And let me include that to you. So when people mistreat us, lie about us, then we're supposed to pray for them. Treat them with respect. Why? Because if we do, our reward will be great in heaven. And I want to be known as a son of God. So let me just kind of summarize this whole thing. According to Jesus, if we live like him, act like him, speak like him, then folks in the world are going to hate us because of him. But when they do hate us, how are we supposed to respond? We're supposed to love them, pray for them, and do good to them. Well, is it going to be hard? You bet it is. But we can do that because the Holy Spirit of God, the Helper, lives within us. Remember, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do this, folks. We can do that. Throughout the world today, Christians are being persecuted and in a lot of cases, martyred. And you and I are somewhat protected in the Western world. We may have somebody make fun of us, but to risk losing their lives, well, that hasn't happened. But you know, it could change. And if it did, how are we going to respond? We're going to be running off into some hole somewhere? No. When people mistreat us and people lie about us, and even smack us, we're supposed to love them. We're supposed to do good to them. We're supposed to pray for them. Why? That's exactly what Jesus did. So, to sum this all up, Jesus himself gives us just a short summary in one short verse. Go with me to verse number 36. Jesus says, therefore be merciful as your Father also is merciful. Listen, you and I must live out the grace and mercy of God. That grace and mercy that he showed us, we are to live out that grace and mercy in our community, in our world. Are we ready to do that? Let me ask you again, are you ready to do that? Well, if you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit lives within, you are able. Father, I thank you for the words that Jesus has spoken today. I know it's kind of in your face that if we live close to him and follow him, the world is going to hate us. They hated you. They continue to hate you. I mean, you mentioned the name Jesus today, and it's not much more than a byword for a lot of people when they say Jesus. So, Father, help us to follow him regardless of the reaction of other people. Even if they get angry, even if they get belligerent, even if they attack us, we are to come peacefully, under control, and yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.